Welcome to the January 4th edition of the PFF Forecast. It is a double Seth Wednesday evening. We've got Seth Galina. We're going to talk about the two primetime games. That is on Saturday night with Jags-Titans and Sunday night with Lions-Packers. Someone was right about that. They may or may not be on this podcast. We also have Judah Fortgang and Tej Seth to pick our locks of the week. Let's rock. I want to say I appreciate the both of you. I appreciate everyone on this this podcast, everyone that listens, members of the printing press, who loyally come and hang out with us. It's been really kind of clear, Brad and Seth, to me, how lucky we are. You know, I think that the ability to talk about such an awesome sport that has so many awesome players, and on Monday night, like, I think it was, I have no reason to be, so impacted, right? Obviously, DeMar Hamlin and his family going through so much, the Bills going through so much. But I think it speaks to, just how lucky we are, to be able to talk about the sport and cover the sport. And, to be able to get on this podcast and talk about it is because of, players like DeMar Hamlin who leave, put their lives on the line literally every time they play the game. So, we're going to do the podcast because, we're going to play football again. It looks like there's positive news coming out about DeMar Hamlin, and, that's why we're here doing it. This may be one of the less light podcasts that we do, and I think that's rightfully so. But, if you haven't already, there's an opportunity to donate to, his GoFundMe, his toy drive. It's really cool to learn about what a good person he is and what influential work he's done in the community. We encourage all members of the printing press and listeners of the podcast to do that. And of course, our thoughts and prayers are with his family and the Bills. Brad, Seth, I don't know if you guys have anything to add. I'm sure you guys do because you're more eloquent than I am.
Yeah, I just wanted to say we come on here and obviously we talk football, we talk gambling and scheme and all these various different things. And like you said, we're going to do that. Obviously, maybe more of a muted tone today, but and I just want folks to realize, like, yes, we're a football grading company, but it's about the people first. We wouldn't have our jobs without people like DeMar Hamlin, and we know that. And it was a surreal, weird 72 hours for everyone, of course. But I think it was the easier decision I've seen is just, like, to not do anything and just only focus and care about, DeMar Hamlin's recovery and him getting better, because that is really all that matters right now. It's just we are lucky. We're very lucky to be able to do this, and we're all pumped for him.
I think, when I'm watching what's going on Monday night live and they're cutting to the studio and I'm on Twitter and people are saying, these guys shouldn't be talking. We should just go, go to a commercial or just look end the coverage. And I think, and I'm not saying we're at the level of ESPN and millions of people are watching us or listening to us, but I think that when I was there on Monday night, I thought it was cathartic to just listen to these people, and no one had any good thing. No one was prepared for this. No one knew what to say. Everyone was coming from their hearts basically in that moment. And I thought it was cathartic just to you just want to hang on to something. You're hoping for good news. So I think doing a podcast, people want to listen to us. People are looking for us as an escape. The game is an escape. Mm-hmm. This podcast are an escape as well. So I think I'm not saying we're doing God's work here. I'm just saying, we're going to talk about football. I think it's important to keep people's spirits up in a time like this, because it's really really a sad thing that's happened. I also want to say I hope there's a change by the NFL. I heard, I don't know his name, I've never seen this guy before. I think he's a host of Locked On Browns or Locked On Bengals, I think Browns. And I saw a Twitter clip that went viral of him. I should go look up his name. I will after. But talking about the issues with the NFL and the money they give to players, whether it's pension, whether it's from the CTE and the concussion mm-hmm. stuff. And hopefully, and I understand this is a freak accident, but hopefully the NFL can change its tune and start actually paying players what they deserve after giving their bodies to this game, which is what they do for our entertainment. So I hope that this can be a catalyst. The catalysts like this are never come from a place of positivity. It's always a place of negativity. A player has to, you know, leave the field on an ambulance, but hopefully down the line, this can be a change for good.
Well said. Speaking of a change for good, Seth, your hair. It's a change for good. We had to get one call out. You want to show the people, for anyone watching on YouTube, like, it was so fresh, the new haircut, that
look at that. That's a segue right there. Look at that fade. Connects to the beard too.
Gives new meaning to the word sharp. which is,
if I'm not going to be sharp with my picks, I might as well be sharp on top here.
With the haircut. Titans, Jags. This was what we thought was going to be the Sunday night game. We correctly predicted on this podcast that it was going to be Lions Packers. It doesn't deserve a pat on the back because it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that Aaron Rodgers win and in is a little more enticing than Joshua Dobbs on the road as a 6-point underdog, maybe even a little light to Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. But this is basically a win and in game. Winner will win the division. The Jags can still make it with a series of other events that happen. So Brad, so the Patriots would need to lose.
Patriots, Dolphins.
Yep.
Yep. I think that's it now, because the Jets and Dolphins lost last week. I think it actually is that simple. Yeah.
It's that simple. So, you know, there's a possibility there that they could still get in. As I mentioned, it is Jags by 6, total at 40. Seth, I'm sure you have copious notes on Josh Dobbs. No, were you gonna go somewhere else? Did you think there was a different? No, I'm kidding. What is the, like, you know, Josh Dobbs is not as good as Trevor Lawrence. So is there either a matchup on the Titans side that could actually, you know, swing this from a spread perspective or even help them win the game? Or do you actually see the Jaguars have, you know, the clear mismatch, and that's where we would look?
The first thing I'll say is, now there's not going to be, I believe that going forward, the NFL will more likely pick a Trevor Lawrence football game. Now, going against Aaron Rodgers is tough in this spot, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of chances to go away from Trevor Lawrence with the way he's played the last 2 months. If they make the playoffs, there'll be a big pick to win double digits, I think, next year. I think there already will be a big pick to win double digits next year. There are going to be a fun offense with Trevor Lawrence. So this is the last time we're ever going to be, he'll be relegated, I think. I think probably with the matchup stuff, the Jaguars offensive line versus the Titans defensive line, they rested a lot of their players against the Cowboys on Thursday night, hopefully to be at full strength. They've had a good D-line over this season when they've been healthy. Danico Autry's have a good year. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons have a great year, one of the best defensive linemen in the league. So I think that could be. Now, the Jags have been better on the offensive line than I think a lot of us would have thought. Now, they did invest a little bit, you know, obviously getting Brandon Scherff this offseason. He's been a solid pickup for them. Juwan Taylor's played better than he's probably ever played. Cam Robinson on the side has been, you know, solid, let's say. It's just the other guards part. You have Fortner, you have Shatley. That could be a problem for them with penetration from the interior of the defensive line. So I think that would be the one place where I think the Titans could slow them down.
Yeah, we obviously, like you said, we didn't know it was going to be Jaguars, Titans, or Packers, Lions. So flying off my seat here with this one. But I do have a question for you on Jags, Titans, and it's not about Josh Dobbs. I know you prepared mostly Josh Dobbs notes, but...
What a bummer.
So when you are bringing a backup quarterback that, you know, they signed him off the street like 2 weeks ago, not even impacting passing, but how does that impact selling play action and selling misdirection and kind of the little wrinkles that maybe a guy like Ryan Tannehill can work on, those little intricacies over the course of a couple seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Tannehill, the thing that kind of has separated him of being, you know, let's say the best of the play action quarterbacks, and that derogatory term that I'm using there, but is his timing and his footwork in the pocket. It is elite level. He gets the ball off on time. He's not wasting movement. He can throw right away at the end of his drop back. There's no, you know, momentum issues or anything like that. And Dobbs certainly doesn't have that. Now, I did think he played like okay. He certainly is a better choice, I think, than Malik Willis, especially the way that they want to run that offense. It just, there was a clash there between Malik Willis, you know, play style and the way they want to do things. So Dobbs is better for that. They're going to go under center. They can do that stuff. He tried some balls down the field that maybe Tannehill wouldn't have tried. I don't know. So, you know, Tannehill is an elite player within structure, within, you know, in with the, like I said, with the timing stuff. Dobbs is not that. So like in terms of the play action, in terms of misdirection, all that stuff, that can be a factor there. But I think there's a chance, you know, he got his feet wet against Dallas. Dallas has a good defense and he made a couple plays, but it'll be tough, I think.
I was trying to think about how I could work in another Josh Dobbs question in here, but I don't think I can. Is there an angle here, Seth, that you like from a betting perspective?
Yeah, I like Trevor Lawrence over 250 passing yards. I think it would be interesting. Just looking at it now, let me look at the line. You said the line was 6?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I would take the Jaguars and take it. -6 because, you know, the Titans have issues. Burks might not play this week. He was out injured today. He didn't practice. So there's not a lot of guys left on that Titans offense to really threaten them a lot. The Jaguars defense has played pretty well in the last month or two. Not against great quarterbacks, but they have played well. So I like Jaguars -6.
Bradley?
Yeah. So also the way you could have worked it in was Josh Dobbs the best rocket scientist NFL quarterback of all time? I think he's the GOAT. I think he's number one there. So my angle here is kind of, I think, counterintuitive to what people think. It's kind of being contrarian, but the Jaguars are actually 8th in EPA per rush allowed this season. They obviously invested a ton at linebacker with not only Devin Lloyd, but also Foye Oluokun, Chad Mumma. They made a bunch of investments there. And up front on the D-line, and I think it has paid off at least against the run. So maybe looking at some Derrick Henry unders. I'm sure everyone's going to look at this and say, well, they're playing Josh Dobbs. They're going to run Derrick Henry 1,000 times. Yeah, they probably want to, but it's a good run defense, A, and the game script might work against that where they kind of have to go away from the run because they're down and trying to make a comeback throwing to Chigo Okonkwo, who's the guy they're going to be throwing to all day long. But anyway, that's my thoughts there.
So Chigo Okonkwo, what's his I think it's 22 and a half is his receptions yardage total. Are you going over there? Is that what you're saying?
I was kidding, but yes, we love it. This is the Chigo Okonkwo podcast, future legend out of Maryland. Jokes aside, he's been awesome. He's been kind of eating into Austin Hooper's workload, and he has a yards after the catch and like force missed tackle machine. They were using him on jet sweeps, and they do everything with him. I think they will get him heavily involved. There actually was a quote today from I think head coach Mike Vrabel saying this game is about getting targets to Treylon Burks and Chigo Okonkwo. So
I love that. I love you.
Last week Titans game against Dallas, I hit on a Treylon Burks over 14 and a half longest reception. I think it was 14 and a half. And I think this is a game, and I said this off the top of my head, so I don't know the numbers, but I think this is a game where you're looking at that from the Titans perspective, there's going to be two or three big shots off play action. We saw it to I think it was Westbrook Akine down the field early in the game off play action. The Treylon Burks one hit when he kind of tightrope down the sideline. So I think there could be a longest reception over. Just look into that if you're into betting.
So I'm all in on the Chigo Okonkwo reception yardage total. Let me read you the reception yardage totals for Mr. Okonkwo: 23, 54, 45, 68, 31, 48.
And that's on like 20 snaps and two targets. I'm not even kidding. That's what he's been doing it with. And now I think they're going to use him more. So yeah, I like that one for sure.
Yeah. So I'm riding with Okonkwo there. I love that. I think from a spread perspective, like just, you know, if I had to take one side of this, I am tempted Titans. I thought Dobbs was fine. The Jags aren't as winning in as the Titans are. And I don't know, but I'm rolling with Okonkwo. Okay, let's go to Sunday night. Packers and Lions. Now, just to be clear, the Lions could already be eliminated. Heaven forbid, going into this game. Our anticipation, and it looks like the market's anticipation, is also that the Lions will be playing hard in this game. Green Bay favored by 4.5 in Green Bay. Lions 8-8, Packers 8-8, Lions 11-5 against spread, Packers 8-8 against the spread. Of course, the Packers have been on a hot streak. They've won 4 straight. They've also covered in each of those games. And because of that, they have continued to earn the respect of the market. The question is set, have they earned your respect?
I think so. I like some of the stuff that they're doing. They, you know, last week against the Vikings, we saw them double team Justin Jefferson as much as they could. I mean, it's not always as easy, simple as say, well, he's there, so two guys are on him and that's it. But they did. Justin Jefferson got open, I will say, and we had a Kirk game. And that's why the Vikings didn't score a lot of points, at least early, or at least it was a blowout early, taking checkdowns. I mean, not to digress too much, but there's a touchdown for Justin Jefferson on the 4th and 2, I believe, then where the game was still pretty close and the interception return goes the other way for a touchdown on the batted ball. And Justin Jefferson's wide open and Kirk just doesn't want to, he just wants to get the ball out of his hand. He throws to Hockenson. Hockenson compounds a bad decision by running a bad route. The ball gets tipped in the air, et cetera, et cetera. So like they did, but the Packers did what they could, not playing a lot of man. That's kind of been their thing since the, since their bye week. They're up in quarter, half, quarter, just regular quarter stuff. They've been doing that a lot more, just kind of keep everything in front of them. Back to seeing, you know, with both Quay Walker and Devontae Campbell healthy, back to them being on the field together, stopping the run a little bit better. So the offense has been better on defense. On offense, obviously trying to get Christian Watson the ball down the field a lot. I think they just do everything in their power to get this guy a touchdown every drive almost. And when I look at the game that ended, I think 15-8 in week 9, I see a game where the Packers moved the ball down the field pretty easily the first quarter and a half, and had 2 really fluke plays in the end zone. A tip ball interception on an RPO, and then they tried their little wacky throwback to David Bakhtiari, and he's open, and Rodgers just misses him. Like, they're kind of 2 fluke plays. So I look at that and I think the Packers probably weren't as bad as 8 points, and they've been kind of okay for a bit, but getting those losses kind of out of the way, and now they have a 4-game winning streak. Now, with that said, 4-game winning streak, Justin Fields, a bad Kirk Cousins game, a bad Tua game. You know, it just hasn't been the quarterback play that they played against that has been very good, but you get the wins, you're in this situation, you have Aaron Rodgers, you're good to go.
Yeah, so we, George, Ben and I actually discussed this a little bit, but you're the QB guru, wanted to get your thoughts. You know, the Lions have the Rams pick, should be a top 10 pick this year, and they're probably not picking top 10 again next year, at least they hope they aren't. Do they have to strike a quarterback if it comes up? Has Jared Goff done enough? What would you do at quarterback if you're the Lions?
Yeah, I'm probably taking a quarterback there. Are we going to do this every 3 years with Jared Goff? Like, that's what I'm afraid of. Like, he's been this player, and the Rams gave him a lot of money, and then it kind of backfired. Obviously, look, they went to a Super Bowl. They're a quarter away from winning a Super Bowl with him. I get that. But to a certain degree, it backfired, and you had to trade him, and you had to give a lot of picks away when you traded him. And you don't want to get in that situation again. So I think he's played well. I think he is supported a lot. Ben Johnson as a play caller has been excellent. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a number one receiver. The offensive line, the running game has been really good. they're kind of rounding out that receiving core now, and it looks really interesting with a vertical outside guy like Chark. You have Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot, kind of getting open no matter what, and then adding in slowly the speed of your first round pick, Jameson Williams. So a lot of really good supporting cast. And he has played better in certain situations than he has in the past, but I'm not ready to just say like, well, his EPA per play is really good, therefore he's really good. Or even his PFF grade is really good, therefore he'll be good again next year. So take quarterback. You have two picks. Like you said, Brad, they're not going to be picking in the first round again, assuming they continue on what they're doing this year. You have another pick after. It'll be 18th or something like that. Good. Go take another player in that pick, but probably looking to get in quarterback right now. And if Goff is the guy, then okay, good, great. You took a quarterback in the first round. He's on a rookie contract. You know, you get a Jordan Love. Like, who cares, right? Like at the end of the day, like if your quarterback is great, I don't care who else other bad decisions you made. You got away with it by having a good quarterback. But I think you should take the quarterback early in the first round, because I don't think that's going to happen with Jared Goff.
Brad, could you trade Goff?
Yeah, definitely. And I think they would look into it. Fairly modest deal, because like you said, got traded, so all the bonus money stayed in LA. It's like 25 a year for the next 2 years, I think. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are teams that would probably be, you know, in the market for that type of deal.
Yeah, it's about 20 base with $5 million bonus.
Top of the dome. I know golf cash flow for 2023. Look at that.
Just absolutely incredible. His cap number 30 and 31 each of the next two seasons. Has a 71 PFF grade, 115 pass rating from a clean pocket. Like, you know, you don't win games with EPA per play, but like you kind of do, you know, actually. So I think it's interesting. And I think, you know, just to say what I would leverage the hell out of the fact that he's been serviceable, and there are some teams that could use Jared Goff as a quarterback. So that said, let's make some picks on this game. I'll go first. Here's my strategy with this one. I am going to wait. The Seahawks are a 6.5-point favorite. When they beat Los Angeles, now maybe they don't cover, but they win, I would expect this line to move a little bit. Like, I'm just expecting that news to impact this line. And then I'm going to bet the Lions. If it doesn't, and I don't get the Lions at anything better than that, then so be it. But I'll take them at 4.5 if I have to, just to feel something in this game, and go from there. But that's my play. Brad, what about you?
I could not agree more. I was going to say it almost sarcastically, but look, they're going to play this game balls to the wall, no matter what, you know, playoffs or not. Keeping the Green Bay Packers out of the playoffs is a Detroit Lions Super Bowl. They might actually hang a banner in Ford Field if they do it. So I would say on a more general point, you look across league, there's been a lot of value on boards, and there still could be. We took Minnesota -1.5. They're -8 right now. Like, I'm not sure what bookmakers were trying to do with who's going to rest guys, who's not. But anyway, keep an eye on all those things. I also – If the Lions are only playing for fun, whatever, maybe look into the over. I know it was a super low scoring game last time, but like you mentioned, Seth, there were some flukiness down in the red zone. There also was no Jameson Williams and barely a Christian Watson at this point. Now both those guys are, you know, becoming focal points of these offenses. And I just see a Christian Watson double move getting a corner to bite. Like, I can picture it right now. So maybe look into for a longest reception for him as well.
If I could bet over 0.5 Christian Watson double moves, I would put my life savings on it.
Hammer it.
Hammer that.
You got to put that line out.
they try to get this guy in a double move, like I said, like once a half. And they even got Dobbs on a double move. So because of what we're saying about how, you know, two healthy speedsters on the field, fluky interceptions in the red zone, the Lions only hit 21 passing yards off play action in this week 9 game, and they are dominating teams on play action. That probably won't happen again. They'll probably figure out a way to get the ball down the field off play action again. It seems high, but I'd like a over 49. And it's interesting because I was looking at PFF green line on pff.com. And the cash, 97% of the cash is on under 49, which I understand. 49 is a high number, and the game just played out at 15-8. But these are two really good offenses. The Lions are really good offense. The Packers can be a really good offense. I think it goes over 49.
The PFF grade ranks for the corners for the Detroit Lions: 85th, 76th, and 66th. So this has Aaron Rodgers, you know, throwing three touchdown passes. Everyone's saying, you know, Christian Watson's for real, written all over it and over, going along with it. Seth, I'm excited about the fact that we have playoff games coming, and you're looking. I think your pet peevishness is reaching an all-time high. So get you out of here as we normally do. Your pet peeve of the week, or the regular season, so to speak.
Well, so I looked up the opposite of what a pet peeve is. It's someone wrote a soft spot.
Oh.
And I just really liked, me and Brad were talking about it before the podcast. I really liked the Aiden Hutchinson interception that he had at the end of the half against the Bears. If you go watch it again, they rushed zero players. They put two defensive ends on the sideline to try and tackle the ball carrier inbounds, because I guess the Bears didn't have any timeouts left. And it worked. And then Fields threw the ball right to a defensive end who was standing there on the sideline. So kudos to them. I mean, you know, it's funny, those end of half scenarios, everyone has their own idea about them. Generally, you're thinking, well, we're just going to rush our four guys. Everyone goes back in the end zone, and then we play it out like that. Some teams will say, hey, we're going to blitz you and get the ball out quick, because we know you have to get to the end zone, and we're not going to let you get to the end zone with a throw because we're going to be under pressure. And this was the complete opposite. And this wasn't even a three-man rush or a two-man rush. This was a zero-man rush, and I appreciate that from the Detroit Lions, who have generally been not good on defense, but at least that play, they were very good.
The Bears O-line still got minus grade on the zero pass rush. I was checking Ultimate earlier. It was still minus ones across the board, unfortunately.
It's I'm just so happy that Seth has matured into a soft spot from a pet peeve.
Yeah.
That's really what we need.
I had a good holidays, so we're good.
Yeah, because of the haircut. Seth, we always appreciate it. You can go find him at PFF underscore Seth on Twitter. You can go read some of his really just hard to read work on PFF.com. Don't recommend that. Would stick to social media, where it's far easier to get through. But we always enjoy having you, and we're looking forward to the playoffs. Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
Want to remind you all fine folks that you can go to PFF.com or the PFF app and get yourself a PFF Plus subscription just in time for draft season. No one does it better. Free agency season. I mean, come on. We have the guy himself right here. He knows Jared Goff's contract by the back of his hand here. And of course, PFF Greenline, Player Props Tool, and Best Bets Tool can all be yours for less than $8 a month. It's a ridiculously good deal. And with promo code FORECAST, FORECAST, you'll get 20% off. So go make that happen ASAP. And with those savings, you can improve your shavings at Manscaped. I'm just on the roll here. Manscaped.com, promo code FORECAST, and you will be able to look better, feel better, have more confidence, and do so at a discount. FORECAST 20, sorry, 20% off plus free shipping. I use it. You're a well-manicured guy, Brad. You can tell by the facial hair. Have you gotten the gift of Manscaped yet?
I have a trimmer. I do. Okay. My
because I'll send you one. That's how much I appreciate the product. And, you know, members of the printing press need to have high confidence.
It is quality. I can attest.
Yeah, I wouldn't use it if it wasn't. The Platinum Package 4.0 is the perfect thing to get yourself ready. If you're going to go to the gym, you know, all you people out there who now have some routine where you're going to the gym, infringing on my gym space, please at least clean yourself up. You know, no one wants a six pack in a forest. So go make it happen at manscaped.com. Promo code FORECAST 20, 20% off and free shipping. It's a wonderful combination. Also, Western and Southern, they're our pick to get your money right, whether it is figuring out how you're going to save for a home, a child, retirement, or you just want to be better with your money. Western and Southern has a game plan tailor-made for you. Go to westernsouthern.com/PFF. Now is a good time to do this. The start of the year, the start of a really challenging year. Go make it happen at Western and Southern. Last but not least, Underdog and Underdog Fantasy. You think that the fantasy season over? It is not. In fact, I believe our good friend Pat Corain, I think he's going to win $2 million. It depends on how the Bengals Bills game ends up getting kind of figured out, but go to Underdog. You can legitimately win a ton of money at Underdog. The gauntlet is open. It's playoff best ball tournaments, $1 million in total prizes, $100K to first place. And all you have to do is draft your team, sit back and relax. Use promo code PFF and you'll get your first deposit up to $100 totally matched. Go make it happen. All right. Our good friend, Judah Fortin, in the middle of the Seth sandwich, comes on and talks alt lines and live game strategy. It's going to be a lot of fun when we get to the playoffs because all the games are standalone and like the opportunities are massive. I'm very excited for that. But we have one more week lots of opportunities there with the games that are still going to matter. By the way, you can find all of Judah's great content both on PFF.com and the PFF app and on social media at Throw the Damn Ball. Does a live stream where he talks about his live strategy and live trading. It is a must listen. He is a member of the PFF Printing Press Discord, which is also a huge addition. Go make sure you get yourself involved there as well. Judah, welcome. Why don't you start us off with your alt spreads that you were thinking about?
Yeah, it almost feels like deja vu coming on here and going with a passing prop and spread against the Tennessee Titans. Of course, we cashed that last week with Dak Prescott. And I'm going to be looking to attack the same spot this week. I'm going to start with Trevor Lawrence, 250 passing yards, which is right at his prop, and the Jags -5.5. You can get that at +250 on DraftKings. And I'm going to look to scale that kind of with some maybe 275, 300 passing yards and some bigger alt spreads, especially when FanDuel releases their pricing. I think the case is relatively straightforward. It's similar to what we talked about last week. The Tennessee defense, the biggest pass funnel, meaning that they invite teams to pass against them more than any other. They're number one in EPA against the run, number one in success rate. Teams pass 4% over expected against them. And as a result, they allow 280 yards passing a game, which is the highest number in the league. We also know that Doug Peterson is totally unafraid to kind of use that one matchup angle and leverage that. Lawrence threw 42 times in their previous matchup. I don't see why in a game with such high stakes, he won't do the exact same thing. And of course, there isn't much more to add that hasn't already been said about Lawrence, but just to reiterate, basically over the second half of the season, he's been a top five quarterback by any measure. He's top five in PFF grade. He's second in big time throws. He's sixth in EPA per play. Whatever it is, he's up there in the efficiency. And the Jaguars are, I think, the better team. We know how they're going to attack, and I want to use that prop and spread to kind of capitalize on that.
Yeah, so Judah, you obviously keep tabs on everything. Like George mentioned, check out the PFF Discord. You're not on demand in there, but we'll, of course, be bugging you and picking your brain for various spots. But I know you also have something else in mind this week, keeping tabs on as it relates to player contracts.
Yeah, so I think incentives is a very interesting way to kind of capitalize on something I don't know is necessarily going to be priced in by the market. I want to categorize almost two spots here. The first are teams that don't have that much to play for. Say the Los Angeles Chargers. Two come to mind. Gerald Everett needs, I think, five more catches to reach $250,000 in incentives, right? The Chargers don't really have much to play for, especially if the Ravens are sitting their guys. They're probably going to keep Gerald Everett in for as long as he can get those catches, and it would be totally unsurprising to see them pepper Gerald Everett with targets. Similar with DeAndre Carter. He needs two catches, right? He's not necessarily a full-time player, but we could be seeing a prop that's over 1.5 receptions. They'd probably want to just, spoon him a screen or something so he can get that incentive. That's something we see fairly often in the last week of the season. Then I create kind of a separate category, which is something you really have to monitor, which are teams that do have something to play for, which in theory could be the Lions, let's say, where Khalif Raymond needs seven catches and 50 yards. If they have something to play for, I'm not sure they're going to be, feeding Khalif Raymond the ball, but if not, right, if they're down, it's the fourth quarter, they know their season's over, it would be unsurprising to see them kind of call a couple deep shots to Raymond. That's something I want to capitalize on. Of course, as Brad mentioned, all of this is I took from the PFF Discord. That's something to join and monitor kind of those lines.
Yeah, for the pricing in, as far as I can tell, look, people are putting it out there. Obviously, we're talking about it. But, I mean, these are contract incentives buried in these, you know, 100-page deals that are on, you know, like the market doesn't have, I don't know, clear, easy access to these things. So I'm not entirely sure there may be something we should we'll monitor and keep tabs on if some of those guys prop, you know, numbers are kind of way off their season averages, stuff like that. But definitely something to keep an eye on. Last but certainly not least, as always, your live view of this weekend. Any live plays you got for us?
Yeah. So I'm looking at the Rams-Seahawks game. Again, it's very difficult this week kind of teasing out who's playing, who's not. I think this is a game where both teams are going to play. This Rams game is no different than any of the past, you know, four or five Rams games. They've been out for a while, and obviously Seattle has a lot to play for. So I think it's pretty interesting in that the Seahawks have been very good scripted, and they're generally very good at kind of getting ahead, and the Rams are pretty slow to start games. So what I'm looking for here is, assuming Seattle gets out to a lead, I'm looking for Cam Akers over rushing yards. I'm looking for the Rams on the comeback, and perhaps even the game total under, and here's why. The Rams, right, markets are just going to price in, okay, team's down, let's get the passing props, the team's going to start to pass, but the Rams actually run about 7% more than expected when they're down by a score. We actually saw this a bit last week. Didn't really work so well. But against the Seattle front, that is bottom five in yards per carry over the past couple of weeks, bottom seven in rush EPA over the course of the season, I'd expect them to stick with the run, have some success doing so, and kind of slow the game down, and I think they'd be able to come back. Conversely, the Seahawks are one of the worst teams protecting leads. They've got a 31% success rate when they're leading at a negative 0.12 EPA. To give some context, over the course of a season, that 31% success rate would be 7% worse than the Houston Texans, who are last in that category. Negative 0.12 EPA would have them between the Broncos and Colts. They're an absolute disaster trying to protect leads. So I think that invites room for the Rams to kind of lean on Cam Akers coming back, the game to just not run too many plays, not have a lot of success, and the Rams to potentially cover some live spreads.
Also, I mean, we talk about incentives. Baker Mayfield has, you know, forget incentives, he has those, mm-hmm. but also, you know, guys are playing for offseason money and contracts and all that. So yeah, I think we've talked about the Rams a bit. I love all those ideas there, and of course the scripted off scripted for the Seahawks. You know, you bring the heat as always.
That game is going to be such a treat, and I really can't wait for it. We're going to talk about it, I think, in the locks of the week segment. But Judah, I'm so sick and tired of the people whining and complaining on the social media crusaders about the unfairness that has beset the poor Seahawks, who had no business even being in contention for the playoffs at the beginning of the year. And now they should be, you know, they should be served on bended knee to make sure they have as fair an opportunity to get in with the Lions playing at the same time as them. As if Dan Campbell isn't going to try and bite meat gaps off regardless of what happens. So I love that that angle. It's interesting in week 18, you know, thinking generally about teams that are really good who might get down early and then, you know, come back like the Chiefs or the Bills. You know, you might be able to bet a live over or whatever it might be. Week 18 is a little bit different because the incentive structure is just not quite correct, right? And so I think I'm going to be looking for playoffs to really leverage some of this live betting, but I think it's cool to find some of these opportunities like the Rams and the Seahawks where you can profit off that, maybe in a way that people haven't been thinking about as much frequently. But we're gonna have to really print during playoffs. It's gonna be fun.
That's right. And I also just say that live props are your friend, especially if you're paying attention just who's on the field. That's true no matter the motivations. And there's opportunity there for sure. But as you say, the playoffs are going to be awesome. I'm so excited.
It was actually something I was thinking about, and we can spend a couple minutes on this. You, I think, bet live as much as anyone I know. I'm sure there are other people out there that do it a lot. What is the data that you're looking at? And I ask this from a, you know, kind of from a product perspective. Like if you were looking for something, you know, some information that you had, let's say in your sports book, right? That like, you know, you could leverage, or next to your sports book that you could leverage. Is it something as simple as like player participation data live during the game?
Yeah. I mean, like I've had Ben feed me kind of live routes run. It's been especially true for running backs and receiving props because they're so low and you can just like basically capitalize on one catch. And it's like, oh, James Cook is actually getting the receiving work today. He's got 14 receiving routes run, and Devin Singletary's only got 6. But the market's still kind of pressing the inverse, like go bet James Cook. That happened a couple weeks ago. There are a bunch of kind of angles like that, as simple as just like feeding in routes because the market doesn't have access to that. Or even just paying attention to, if it's not, you don't have access to the data, just like sometimes the team is targeting a very specific angle. Thursday Night Football, Jets, Jaguars. Evan Ingram was clearly a huge part of the game plan. They were just going to give him some quick passes. Like you don't need access to any crazy information to see that like clearly they're emphasizing him, and just like go bet some Evan Ingram over props.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Well, coming to a PFF tool nearest you, will be live data at some point here. Judah, always a pleasure. At Throw the Damn Ball is where you can find him. Thank you so much for your time every single week, and we will see you for the playoffs next week. Our good friend, Tej Seth, it is time to pick the last regular season locks of the week. We squeaked through, I should say, 3-1 last week. Teasers came through. The only people that did not come through were Kirk Cousins and his disgusting Vikings. I'm sure we won't go back to the well there. Locks of the week. We'll start with you, Tej. What is your first bet?
Yeah, no, thanks again for having me on. I just wanted to congratulate you guys on getting possibly the best closing line value of the year on Vikings -1.5. That's moved all the way to 7.5 now with news that the Bears are starting Nathan Peterman. So that's pretty cool to see. I hope a lot of people tailed that as usual. So first bet that I have here is a first half bet. I'm going to go with Chiefs Raiders over 26.5 in the first half. And when you watch this Raiders team, they play the same game every week where they start off really well in the first half. They sometimes even take the lead and they kind of like fade down the rest of the game. And so, you know, I like, you know, if you're going to take first half Raiders, maybe trying to look for some live betting opportunities on Saturday when this game is played. And the data backed this up. The Chiefs ranked 2nd in offensive EPA per play in the first half this season, and the Raiders ranked 9th in offensive EPA per play in the first half. So I could see a lot of points in this one on Saturday, and I think it should be a pretty fun, interesting game there, at least, you know, until Mahomes takes over in the second half.
I like that a lot. We talked about the full game total. We put an article. We got some closing line value there as well, just to shout that out. But I like the angle of the first half, just, you know, in case things happen around the league or whatever. So my first bet, going back to the teaser, well, you should have seen it coming. So the Jaguars, it was 6.5 when I said this. I guess it's 6 now. You can still do it. Get it down to a flat 0. I am a little bit afraid of that spread. I think they are going to win this game, but you get the Titans off of Thursday night. They rested a ton of players, and we all know about Mike Vrabel and all that. So I think the Jaguars will win, but 6 is a bit rich. And then my favorite teaser team in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns, are +2.5 once again, going up against Pittsburgh Steelers. Just like the Lions, maybe a little bit different, but beating the Steelers to keep them out of the playoffs is also a Super Bowl for the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. They played better. They've gotten better on offense with every week with Watson in the fold. So, yeah, +8.5 on Cleveland and a pick 'em for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Need to close out strong here. We're 26, 15-1 on our locks of the week since this trio has come together. I think our goal should be to get, you know, to 30-15 would be great if we can make it there. So no pressure whatsoever. I'm going to Tej's game, Chiefs Raiders. Every single week, most weeks, if you bet early enough, you can get Patrick Mahomes passing touchdown prop at plus money. You can still do that right now. Over 2.5 passing touchdowns is +106. In most places, you can find it for plus money. It was a little bit better earlier today when I grabbed it. I was actually alerted to it. I was checking out some of the new updates on the PFF app, and it was like our highest graded bet. So I was like, good. Thank you for the reminder. But to Tej and Brad's point, the Raiders defense stinks, but I actually like Jared Stidham. I thought he played well, and they might put up some points here. And so I like the Chiefs having to kind of keep things going and playing in this game. And if so, I think Patrick Mahomes over 2.5, rightfully so, has a large edge. I mean, you look at the cornerbacks for the Raiders, You have Robertson and Hobbs, each with PFF grades below 65. You look at the middle of the field, they're linebackers, 29.7 PFF grade and 32 PFF grade. So Travis Kelce over the middle should be a nice little piece there. So that's my first one. Tej, number two from you.
Yeah, no, I like that. Brad, you know, something we need to study this offseason is why these backup quarterbacks do so well in the first couple of games when they come in. You know, it's kind of crazy how well Stidham did and Minshew did the week before and just this entire season so far. So I really like that bet, George, there. I'm going to go with Packers -4.5 on Sunday Night Football. I like them to cover. If you want to just take the money line to be safer, I would like that as well. And before I let my emotions get into it, from a data perspective, I think like the Packers season kind of turned around with that Week 10 win over the Cowboys, where we kind of saw their passing offense get going. And, you know, we see in a lot of these games, these high pressure games lately, the past couple of years with Aaron Rodgers, he would target Davante Adams. And if Adams wasn't open, he wouldn't know what to do with the ball. With Adams not there, we're really seeing him spread the ball around right now with Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs, and Alan Lazard. And the Lions just don't have the secondary pieces to cover what the Packers offense has to provide. And since that Week 10 mark, the Packers offense ranks sixth in EPA per dropback. I think Rodgers lives for these games. As Brad knows, he loves to take apart NFC North opponents in these types of games. And I think the Packers defense, especially their pass defense, is also playing well right now. And they get Jared Goff outdoors in the cold, where he usually doesn't do well. And he hasn't done well in an away game basically this whole season. So I see a lot of just kind of ways for the Packers to win this game. And then from the motivation standpoint, if the Seahawks win at 4 o'clock and the Lions players know about it, they might not be fully into this game, because there were games this season where they weren't fully into when they got blown out by the Patriots and the Panthers, both games on the road. So I could see that happening as well in this game.
All right. I'm jumping into probably the only one I'll give out here, but as everyone knows, there's contract incentives across the NFL. Yes. Players can earn bonuses and extra money for hitting certain, you know, statistical figures. So there's a bunch of them out there. You've probably seen them, but one that I really, really like, going back to the Lions-Packers game, you want to avoid it. There's a bunch for the Jaguars, but like you would imagine, they're not trying to feed certain players to make them money when they're trying to make the playoffs. So avoid things like that. There's a couple Chargers ones that I like, but I don't know if they're going to have anything to play for, because Ravens-Bengals at 1 o'clock and they're at 4:30. And so if the Ravens lose, then the Chargers probably will just sit everyone. That's why the spread is now +2.5. They were -2.5. I think Brandon Staley just came out and said that. So anyway, Khalif Raymond for the Detroit Lions, none of that applies. And he has 550 receiving yards right now. He gets $250,000 for 600. So he's 50 yards away. He is a deep shot guy. He is a speedster, a lot out of the slot, but kind of line him up all over. I would go longest reception there. You could go for the yardage prop, which would hit the actual incentive. But I also like a longest reception there. Try to hit him on a bomb, and maybe he gets a 50-yard catch. That's my favorite of all the incentive props you're going to see out there.
By the way, place that you can go find this list of incentives, the Printing Press Discord. I should have mentioned this at the top, but we've got a cool little group hanging out in there, passing around information as it comes up, profiting off of the closing line value that Tej brought up at the outset here. The link will be in the description of the YouTube video. And if you can't find it there, look on Twitter. Both Brad and myself have tweeted it out. Tej, I don't know if you're in there yet. I don't know if we've gotten you as part of the Printing Press Discord, but you need to be in there. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun little place. And all of those incentives Brad has outlined in one of the chats there. Okay, my next one. I am going to save my teaser that I have for last. I can see it. I'm manifesting it. I love the Rams. Nothing gives me more life than people on the internet so mad that the Seahawks are getting screwed because the Lions are on Sunday Night Football. Maybe they should have won another game. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, if you don't control your own destiny, you don't control your own destiny. Stop complaining. But all of this complaint about, well, I mean, if the Seahawks win, then the Lions have nothing to play for. And then, you know, they might not try hard enough and beat Aaron Rodgers. Go beat the Rams. Okay. Go beat the Rams. Why don't you do that first? Rams, Baker, and McVay have
there's no reason for them to lose this game. Baker is going to be super incentivized. And we've seen this game play out before. The Seahawks are not a team that's going to go cover 6.5. They're a team that's going to cover when they are a 3-point underdog. And so in this spot, I just absolutely love the Rams plus 6.5. If it were, you know, I'm going to bet a little bit plus 240 on Rams money line as well. Of course, we try to give, you know, minus 110 bets for the lock, but that is my next bet. Tej, I think you have one more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you're giving me hope there. And I can kind of see that angle with the Rams and the Seahawks game, because, you know, Seahawks haven't played that well these past couple of weeks, other than the blip against the Jets last week. And McVay has kind of owned Pete Carroll. If you're into that type of stuff too. So I hope you're right about that. I would love for Sunday Night Football to be a win and end game. So we'll have to see. The last bet I have is a player prop that's not out yet, but I think it'll be around his average yardage for the season yet. I really like Justin Jefferson over receiving yards this week. And, you know, based on what happened last week, where Justin Jefferson was pretty much embarrassed by Jair Alexander and the Green Bay Packers defense, I think that to get his confidence back up, or just to get his juices flowing going into the playoffs, I think the Vikings are going to target him a lot. And I watched the Bears live last week, and they have an awful passing defense right now since trading away Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith. And I think it's, you know, this 8-week stretch might be historically bad. I think Jefferson can really go to town on this entire secondary, get a lot of explosive plays that put him over the receiving prop when it comes out. So I don't know exactly what the number is, but based on what it is, I think it, you know, most people should bet it when the sports books release it.
It's too low is what it is.
It's way too low against this Bears secondary right now. I know we're pushing for a six pack here. I don't want to force it. I am all tapped out of Blade.
Okay.
Unfortunately, not enough games matter. So
give me the floor, Brad. Let your boy cook. Yeah,
please.
Okay.
Please.
Let me get in the kitchen here. You thought I was going to like close out the regular season without a teaser. You were wrong. Another team that has no pick to play for. Gosh, who could that be? Oh, the Denver Broncos. Who is trying to rationalize trading away that pick? Oh, their quarterback. Who are they playing? The Los Angeles Chargers. Los Angeles Chargers, I think, are, you know, do they have anything to play for? No, not really. But the Broncos are not that good of a team. They just simply are not. Now, I will change this if, Brad, you tell me that you think the Chargers are going to rest people. Is that something that you anticipate happening?
So Staley basically said, based on the result of the 1 o'clock games, we'll make decisions.
Which, oh, really?
Because if the Ravens lose, then the Chargers
then they don't. Yep. Okay. So we'll pivot from that one. That's okay. We'll erase that. We'll pretend I didn't even say it. And what we'll go with is Vikings tease down to 1.5. And Browns. I think that was yours, yep. Brad, at the yep. beginning. I like that. I was going to try and differentiate from that one with Browns and Chargers there. But if the Chargers might not play their guys, we don't want to do that. So we'll go with, I love that one, Browns and Vikings. I'm trying to think if there's any other legs that we could introduce here, you know, that could be interesting. Texans out to plus 8.5 is another yeah. opportunity.
Miami, I don't, you know, a little Skylar Thompson action. All jokes aside, I've been too sarcastic this episode, but all jokes aside, he's not that bad. The Dolphins almost put him ahead of Teddy at one point this year.
Wow.
I think he could cover a full touchdown at home. I don't know.
Up to 7. You also have Cowboys down to 1.5 against Wentz.
No, is against Wentz? Sam Howell.
Sam Howell is playing.
Sam Howell's playing. Yeah.
Maybe that's
why I
maybe
moved
that's...
from. Yeah, 4 to 7.5, which still that maybe. Again another bizarre spread. It was 6, went down to 4, now is 7.5. I like that. I like that both of those Cowboys and Vikings legs down to 1.5. I like.
Okay, there we go. Cowboys and Vikings down to 1.5. Okay, let's get these together here. Tej, what are your couple of your favorites here?
Yeah, I mean, I loved a lot of the teasers. Brad's Titans plus 6, I think it was, right, Brad?
Yeah, Jaguars and Browns teaser.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I really like that.
Okay.
So we can do Jags, Browns, and then we could still do Vikings, Cowboys if we want to double tease it up.
Mm-hmm. Double tease.
I love that.
Okay.
Which I think we will do.
Why not? Double tease. I really like the Jefferson redemption game here.
Yeah.
Against the Bears. I love that. The only thing I want to check, is there any weather?
No weather in any of the games that's notable as of right now.
Yep. Beautiful. Okay. Yep. So we've got two teasers. We've got Jefferson over whatever the hell it is receiving yards.
I love your Rams pick. I do. I was going to take it. That was my last choice.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one as well.
Yeah.
Rams.
It's
plus
the classic,
six.
Like, you know, everyone's going to bet Seahawks because they need it more. I love Jalen Ramsey on DK. Tyler Lockett, I think, did finally practice today, but he's trending towards, I think, probably not being a full contributor. So I like that one a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we close it out with one of our old favorites, Patrick Mahomes over 2.5.
Yes. Yeah. The bread and butter.
He's been so good to us. Tej, I don't know how we can fade your Lions. I don't know how we can do it.
Okay, I'll emotionally fade them myself and put the bet down. So, but that doesn't have to be an official lock there.
Okay.
Real quick, I know you already said earlier, but think about it. Would you actually rather have the game just be the Lions can't get in the playoffs and you're just rooting for them to keep the Packers out? Or do you want the full suspense and tension of trying to get in? It's a fair question, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, I want the full suspense. Now that the 49ers, Georgia 49ers are the 2 seed instead of the Vikings, I think there's less appeal to getting the 7 seed. When the Vikings were there, I could talk myself into Lions going to the divisional round. Now, even if, you know, Lions, very low probability of getting in, but even if they get in, there's not much of a chance there anyways. So, you know, I think either way works. Just as long as they win and they keep Aaron Rodgers out of the playoffs, that would make me pretty happy.
Do we like
George, hold on. I have your favorite stat of the year for you coming in right here. You mentioned the 49ers, so I got to do it. Shout out Jay Gray on Twitter because he was putting these out. So Brock Purdy now has 10 touchdown passes in his 5 San Francisco 49ers starts. Brock Purdy has more touchdown passes than any Jets quarterback since 2019.
Wow.
That's a real stat.
Wow.
Not cumulative, obviously, but in that particular season. Yeah.
I knew I loved that guy. I can't wait. Stadium Swim, Super Bowl, Niners. It's going to be a Brock party is what we're going to call it. it's going to be absolutely insane. I can't wait. Should we throw one of these overs in? Chiefs, Raiders?
I like Tej's first half play a lot there.
Mm-hmm. Over 26.5. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think this will get us there. We've got first teaser. Is it Jags, Browns?
Jags, Browns. Yep.
Jags, Browns. We have Vikings, Cowboys. Those are the two teasers. We have Justin Jefferson over receiving yards. We have Rams plus 6.5. And we have Chiefs, Raiders first half over 26.5 points.
Beautiful six pack.
I don't think
build your own at the grocery store. Beautiful.
Bring it to the Brock. Bring it to watch Brock Purdy win a Super Bowl. It'll be great. Tej, we always appreciate you. Enjoy watching your Lions hang a banner in one way, shape, or form this weekend. And we will see all members of the printing press on Sunday night live. Love you. Peace.